ओम शांति। रिलैक्स द बॉडी, थ्री डीप ब्रेथ्स एंड लेट्स ब्रिंग आवर अटेंशन टू द सेंटर ऑफ द फोरहेड। I, the eternal energy, shining bright in the center of the forehead, gently see yourself radiating light and power. Yesterday, we went home to meet the Supreme Parent. Today, let's invite God into our life. Ask God to come and sit with you there in the center of the forehead. I, the being, and my divine parent, both of us together. God and me together. Feel this energy, God and me together. Radiating power to the world. Gently create a white divine energy circle around your body. It's the aura. The energy field. It's a circle around the body. God's power and blessings is a divine circle of protection around me. Gently say this to yourself. God's powers and blessings is a divine circle of protection around me. And see that bright white circle. My energy field. My aura. It's not just my vibrations, it's God's power and blessings with me always. In everything I do, everyone I meet, everywhere I go, I'm never alone. Om Shanti. One more practice on a daily basis. Each one of us has an energy field around us, right? Yes, everybody? When we meet people, before we speak, before we behave. The first communication is between my energy field and their energy field. And we all can feel people's vibrations, right? And people can feel our vibrations. We can feel their vibrations, they can feel our vibrations. It's like a perfume. You choose a perfume in the morning. Throughout the day, everyone gets that fragrance. Yes? Perfume is your choice, which one you choose. But everyone throughout the day you meet is going to get that fragrance of the perfume you chose to wear. So my perfume is my aura, my energy field. When I was creating stress and anger and all those lower energy ones on the left hand, then that is our energy field. So everywhere we go, everyone we meet, our energy radiates to them. Even if I speak perfect, if my every word is accurate, if my every word is respectful, but if my energy field is carrying lower vibrations, my relationships are not healthy. People will not get a good experience meeting me. Now, when every day you will start meditating for at least 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it's going to create a shift here. And as this will create a shift here, this circle will start changing. Do you know that your circle has already started changing? It has already started changing. How many of you would feel your circle has already started changing? Why has it started changing? It has started changing because, one, we are living in a campus where the vibrations are different from the world that we have come. If you, like you must have gone to the market yesterday or might go today, if you just step out of the gate and drive down the slope and go to the market, the energy is different. The energy is different. You go to Dilwara temple, you go to Naki Lake, energy is different. You move away from the crowd, go to the hills with nature, energy is different. You come into a campus where there's meditation, energy is different. So the place where we are also has an influence on our vibrations. So your aura is changing because of the place we are going to live in, and that is why you have come all the way to be here for 8 days. Same retreat can be organized in your country. Same talks, same meditation commentaries, everything can be organized in an auditorium in your country, in your city. But we can't carry these vibrations from here there. So you have to come from there, here. So first thing, when you will start meditating at home, your vibrations of your home will start changing. Those vibrations of your home will start changing the energy field of everyone living in that house. Everyone. Second, why your aura is changing? Because of what you are watching, reading, listening, speaking. Do you get too much time to scroll the phones here? So little practice for the next 8 days. Don't consume any content from the outside world while you are here. Let's make the most of it. Any content about what's happening in the world, any videos somebody is posting, somebody is forwarding you, only minimal communication, only what is necessary with family. The rest after 10 days. after 10 days. Put it on your WhatsApp description. I'm in a retreat for 10 days. Message only if urgent. Only if urgent. Because we need to keep this calm so that it absorbs the most. One message from a friend and I may spend the next 30 minutes thinking about something that's happening there, but which doesn't need my attention right now. I can do it later. I can do it later. But when we go back from here, if I want to retain this energy field, I will have to make it a practice to consume minimal content from phone, internet, because content is emotional diet. What we consume is the source of our thoughts. What we watch, read, listen is the quality of our thoughts. So if I watch, read, listen, ego, lust, anger, criticism, comparison, violence, terror, if that's what I watch, read, listen, then that's what I become. So content consumption is one of the main reasons of what most of us are going through emotionally. How many of you feel you're addicted to your phone? Which means, wake up first thing with the phone, last thing go to sleep with the phone. Every time there is a beep, attention goes towards the phone. Pick it up for 5 minutes, but scroll for 30 minutes after that. This is all addiction. This is all addiction. To become a master of my mind and my sense organs and my body and my life, I will first have to become a master of technology. Because today, we are a slave to technology. Technology is powerful, we use it, but we don't become a slave of it. Use it like a master. And using it like a master means using only how much is needed and when it's needed, and having the power to just put it down like that. Two times which are very powerful, where we have to take care of the subconscious and not consume lower energy content, is an hour after we wake up and an hour before we go to sleep. Which means the first hour of the morning and the last hour of the day, subconscious mind is active. The bed which we sleep on, there is a mattress and there is a bed sheet on that, right? Just visualize yourself having your morning cup of coffee in bed. Okay? Morning cup of coffee in bed. And a little coffee spills on the bed. What would you do immediately? Coffee spills on the bed, what would we do immediately? We first pull the sheet, because till then the coffee stain is only on the sheet. If I wait for a minute more, the coffee will not be on the sheet only, it will go into the mattress. As long as the coffee is on the sheet, easy to wash. Easy to wash. Once the coffee goes into the mattress, difficult. As long as that thought is on your conscious layer of the mind, which is the bed sheet, easy to clean. If it goes into the subconscious mattress, difficult to heal, takes time. And the time that it is going to go into the mattress is when we go to sleep. And so one more habit from today, before going to sleep, check your day. Reflect on your day. You can have a little diary for that. If anything I did was not perfect today, which means not just words and behavior, even a judgmental thought is not the right karma. It's a lower energy. Before going to sleep, change that thought. Before going to sleep, change that word, even if you've already said it in the morning. Never mind. Change it before going to sleep. Because it's still on the top layer. It's still on the top layer. So a little journal writing before going to bed. And journal writing is not going to be about what happened in the day. No. It's going to be about changing what was not right in the day. A lot of people do journal writing, but they only write about the day. We don't want to rewrite what happened today. I just want to change my recording of what was not right today. So which means forgive people before going to sleep. Seek forgiveness before going to sleep. Then that wound will never be there with you, which sometimes we have for many, many years, because it's gone into the mattress. It's gone into the mattress. And along with writing your journal, your chart for the, we call it the chart. It's like an audit, personal auditing, profit and loss for the day, and changing what was not right. And after doing that, just for 2-3 minutes, write a letter to God. A letter which no one else is going to read. It's just between you and God. Something you can't share with anyone else. Something you would like to share with God. Something you would like to ask. How many of us have experienced telepathy? Telepathy, yeah? I think of someone and they come there like this. I call up someone and they have already have the phone in their hand dialing my number. And they say, I called you. I said, no, I called you. They say, no, no, I called you. Because it just happens together. Sometimes we will have a question on our mind and from there they will come and start giving the answer. And we will say, how did you know that I was going to ask you this? Say, I don't know. Telepathy means communication using the power of the mind. I remember when I was in school, and you all must have experienced that. And sometimes in school I used to think that when I am going to go home today, I'm going to ask my mother to cook this for me. And I'm going to tell her, I want to eat this today. And multiple times in the day that thought will come to me, I want to eat this today. I'm going to go home and ask her to cook for me. And I reach home and it's already cooked for me. And I was like, how did you know? And I don't know. I thought of cooking this. So we thought communication meant only after we speak or after we write. Communication is when we create that thought. It radiates from us to them and from them to us. If telepathy between soul and another soul is possible, is it possible to have telepathy between soul and the Supreme Soul? I create a thought, it reaches you. You create a thought, it reaches me. Communication. If a soul and another soul can communicate, can the soul and the Supreme Soul communicate? Telepathy? Possible? 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 Which one would be easier? Soul and soul or soul and Supreme Soul? Which one is easier? Soul and soul telepathy or soul and Supreme Soul telepathy? see what happens. Sometimes we experience telepathy, sometimes we don't. Sometimes even after speaking, people cannot understand us. Does that happen? Leave alone catch our thoughts. After explaining also, they cannot understand us. Sometimes after explaining many, many, many times repeatedly, they still don't understand us. And we say like, how many times have I told you this? You still don't understand. Because the other person has their own clutter here of some noise of their thoughts. Remember, how many of you have children? Okay, go back to the time when your child was a baby in arms. Just bring that scene before you. Your child, a baby in arms. The child can't understand what you're speaking. You can't understand what that child is doing. Go, 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 the child will keep talking like that. Both cannot understand each other's language. But see that energy exchange that happens between that child and the parent. For hours, the child and the parent can talk to each other without understanding each other's language. But when that child grows up and we can understand each other's language, we say we can't understand each other. No? When we didn't understand language, we understood each other. When we can understand language, we can't understand each other. Why? My own clutter of my thoughts. So sometimes we experience telepathy, sometimes not. You will experience telepathy only when your mind is silent and you can catch the other person's thought. Which means my phone here should not be engaged. It shouldn't be busy thinking of something else. Then I will catch somebody's thought. But when it comes to telepathy between soul and supreme soul, the phone there is never busy. Never busy. The ocean of peace, always silent. And so, communicating my thought to God is very simple. And catching God's direction for me is also very simple. The only thing that I will have to do is keep this silent. What is the difference between praying to God and meditating on God? We all pray to God. Difference between prayer and meditation is, in prayer, we speak. We pray, right? So we pray, we chant, we sing hymns, we say our prayers. It's we who is doing everything. And once we finish saying our prayers, we get up and go into the world of action. Meditation is a two-way communication. Prayer was a one-way communication. I speak, I say what I want, and I move on. Meditation is a two-way relationship, where I will say what's on my mind and what I want to share, and then I will become silent to hear what God has to say to me. What God has to say to me. So telepathy with God, communication with that Supreme Parent, is meditation. So in the next 8 days, you will reflect and experiment and experience. This will be the beginning only in these 8 days. Then it's a beautiful journey forward. It's a personal relationship. God is not a concept. God is not a concept. God is real. And if I can have a real relationship with so many souls, why can't I create my personal real relationship with God? How many of you have extended families? Almost everyone would have extended family. So we have a big circle of relationships. Family, extended family, friends, contact souls, colleagues. Just take a sheet of paper and a pen. Whenever there is an issue in life, whenever there is any crisis in your life, draw one small circle and write the one whom you will communicate with first with your problem. Who's the first one who comes to your mind in this whole circle of people we know? One name only. Small circle, because it needs only one name. If you're not able to get your answer or solution from them, then you go to the second circle outside, write two names. Sometimes the first one doesn't have an answer for us. They don't have our solution. With the next two, if I still don't get my solution, then I go to my third circle of contacts and you can write four names there. And nowadays we also Google to find answers to our problems. And now we are going to have AI talking to us about our problems. The more we will talk to artificial intelligence about our problems, the more we will move away from our innate intuition. And so, a circle and another circle and another circle and another circle and another circle. How many I can ask about my issues or problems or crisis in life? In which circle does God's name come? In which circle did God fit in? So normally what happens is, I ask them, then I ask them, then I ask them, then I ask them. When no one gives me an answer, when I don't get an answer from anyone, then where do I go? And I say, God, no one is there to help me. Now only you will be able to help me. So what Raja Yoga did to me, it just changed my circles. And what happened was, in the first circle, the one name is talk to your supreme parent, your supreme friend. First name. First one whom I will think of. And that will only happen when we gently create a relationship. Because the first one we think of is the only one with whom I have the closest relationship. Then I have to think of somebody else. Then I also start thinking of contacts who could help me in this problem. Then our circle moves bigger and bigger. But if in the first circle I have created that personal relationship with God, that God is the first one I think of, then I don't need a second circle in my life. It doesn't mean I don't have people in my life, but it just means I will not need to go to people for any answers. If I start experiencing a personal communication and telepathy with God. So this is only going to be an experiment to begin with. Anything on your mind, any question, any answer you need, just start asking. Just start. You can say to God, I don't really know everything about you yet, but I heard people here saying that you answer, so I need an answer. And put your question. Experiment. Because when we ask people for answers, people give us very good advice. There's no doubt about that. But they will give us advice through their perception. They will give us advice through their personality traits. Sometimes that may be the right advice for me, sometimes it may not be. Sometimes what they are saying is logically perfectly right, but 2 years later it might not be right. We are in an uncertain time. But the answer that you will get from there will always, always, always be 100% right. So start creating your personal relationship. How do we create a personal relationship with someone? Someone introduces you. This is so-and-so, this is so-and-so. So the first thing is just an introduction. So today, introduction, you talk about yourself to God. Introduce yourself. Talk about yourself, talk about your life, talk about your journey. Pour it out. Pour it out. Share everything. While you're pouring it out, a lot of healing will happen. Write it out if you want. Say it out if you want. We have a lot of meditation rooms in this campus. If you want, you can just go and sit in silence in any of those rooms. Pour out your story. Pour it out right from childhood to now. Just share everything. That is my first step to creating a relationship. Second step to creating a relationship is communication. Start talking to God. We've all talked to God, but we only talk to God when there are some big issues in life. Talk to God about the smallest things in life. Smallest things. God is your companion. Share everything, talk about everything. It's like someone with whom we talk many times in a day. We talk about everything. They know everything about my life. They even know what I had for breakfast this morning because I talk to them 10 times in a day. But someone I meet once in 6 months, there's nothing much to talk. We just say, hello, how are you? How are you? All perfect. How's everything at work? Perfect. After that, nothing else to talk. But the ones we talk many times a day, every time we meet, we sit for half an hour and talk again. There's so much to talk. So start sharing with God everything every day. Just talk. Just share. A friend. God is not in roles and relationships. God can play any relationship in my life. Any relationship. Want to talk to a parent? Talk to God. Want to talk to a friend? Talk to God. Want to talk to a child? Talk to God. And you will get a response just like that. So one is introduce yourself. Second is start a communication. Third is every night before going to sleep, share your chart, write a little letter. And fourth is anything on your mind, put it up there. Just give it like a child to the parent and say, give me the answer. You are the one who has to give me the answer for this. I'm not going to ask anyone else. I'm not going to ask anyone else. You have to give me this answer. With authority. We have complete authority on God. He's my parent. It's like a child telling a parent, you have to do this for me. I'm not going to ask anyone else. So a relationship between a child and a parent is of love, but it's also of authority, complete power. My parent. My parent. So anything you want to ask, just say it there and forget about it. Forget. We often don't understand the meaning of surrender. How do we have to surrender? Surrender doesn't mean I will not do anything, God will do it for me. I surrender. That is not surrender. Surrender is I don't know the answer. I surrender my intellect, which means I keep it silent, and I request that supreme power who knows all the answers, who knows my life, who knows the journey of my multiple lives, who knows me better than me, And that power can give me the right answer. So I surrender my intellect and I say, you tell me what is right for me, I will do it. Surrender doesn't mean you do this for me. God is not going to come and do my karma for me. God is not going to come and solve my problem for me. God can tell me the way to solve the problem. I have to then solve the problem. It's like a parent and a child. Parent can advise. Child has to implement the advice. Child cannot just sit back like this and tell the parent, do this for me, solve this for me. No. Child can take guidance, advice, support, power from the parent. Same between God and me. Parent and child relationship. So surrender your intellect, which means this belief that I know everything, I'm intelligent. The coming times, intelligence might not work because it's times of uncertainty. What my logic says will be right for tomorrow may not be right tomorrow. So I need to use intuition power. To use intuition power, I need to silence my mind. And higher than intuition, intuition is my intuition, which means when I silence the logical mind, there is an answer there from my wisdom. It's like the layer of water, the river, silent. You can see what is there in the riverbed there, at the bottom. So here, this has to be silent. So one is my intuition, where I say my intuition says I should do this. That is my intuition. Second is catching God's signal. That is not my intuition. That is catching God's message for me. We have heard experiences of so many people. We have read so many books about how people received messages from God, how they had a personal relationship with God, how they had a conversation with God. It's not only they who could have that. Each one of us can have that. They are not different from us. Each one of us can have that. We only need to start that relationship. So for big things in life, but also for small things in life, become a child and say, I don't know what's right, you tell me and I'll do it. The more you will ask, the more answers you will get. It's like a child. The more the child asks, the parent keeps giving the answer. But when the child stops asking, then the parent also says, okay, I'm silent, do it your way. Whenever you need me, I'm here for you. And after some time, the child does not even follow what the parent is saying. So the parent is silent and says, okay, still, whenever you need me, I am there. But if I behave like a child and ask everything, I will get answers for everything. So that is Raj Yoga. Raj Yoga is not some technical meditation only like being still, deep breathing, silent. No, it's a relationship with that highest power. And in these coming times of uncertainty, in these coming times of transformation that's happening on the planet, this relationship is going to be very, very, very precious. Very precious. You will actually get a signal. Do this, don't do this. Go here, don't go here. I'll give you one example. Of course, we are full of examples and experiences, but just one I will share with you. I think more than a decade back, there was a massive earthquake in India. It was in Gujarat. It was at 8 o'clock in the morning in a place called Bhuj. It was so massive that even now that place still has that impact of that earthquake. And there was this sister who was studying in the 10th grade. Today, she is running a Raj Yoga meditation center in Gujarat. She was practicing meditation even then. And she was alone at home. It was time for her exams. She was on the second floor of her building. Earthquake doesn't last for more than 2 minutes or so. And when you're on the second floor and the building starts shaking, you obviously have to run out. Every logical mind knows that. And she said, I was about to go out. And I just got this catching from Baba. We call God Baba. Baba means father. So you must have seen everywhere. Baba's room, Baba's box. So Baba is for parent. So we call God our parent. So she said, I just got a touching from Baba. Sit here. Sit under the table. You have only 2 minutes. And it's all over, the earthquake, in 2 minutes. She said, I was about to go on and I just got the touching. Sit here, sit under the table. But because you've experienced that relationship and you know that if you get this, it always is going to be right. She said, I went and sat under the table. Most illogical thing to do. Most illogical thing to do. And then of course, when it got over and she came out of the building, that particular building in which she was just damaged, but still fine. But where she would have gone out, had she gone out, where she would have gone out is where the next building had all collapsed over there. So this is catching that signal in that fraction of a minute that you need the answer, where you don't have time to sit, meditate, focus, and you can't do that when something, such big thing is happening around you. But if you have created that relationship daily basis, then you don't have to wait to ask the question. You will get the answer without you asking. You don't always have to ask your parent for advice. The relationship is so beautiful. The parent will advise you without asking. Yes or no? Does your parent have to wait for you to ask? No. They will advise you without asking. So this is this relationship. Talk to God about everything. Issues at work, issues in business, issues in relationship. Everything. You have a health issue. You're about to take an appointment with the doctor. Pause. Pause for 1 minute. Sit in silence and just say, which doctor should I go to for this? You tell me. Ask. My intelligence will say, I know which doctor I have to go to. No, surrender. Use the higher intelligence. Say, which doctor should I go to for this? You will get an answer. Now book an appointment. This is a relationship. About the simplest things of life. And the more we talk, the more we share, the more we ask, the more that telepathy becomes a natural way. And we reach a stage where even if someone around us has a problem, they'll say, you ask and tell me, what should I be doing now? We say, you have to sit and ask. You know, I am not able to do it. You ask and tell. That's the power of this relationship. We never learned to create a relationship with God. For us, God was a distant, some energy far away. And I am some insignificant one, too far away from that highest, supreme, purest power. My parent, my parent, my friend, always available for me. Always available for me. So use these 8 days to build the relationship. To start creating the relationship. And then of course, it's a relationship for a lifetime. So can we start? What is going to be the first step? Introduce yourself. Talk about yourself. Take it all out. When you share your whole journey, we will think we are sharing, but there is a lot that's going to get sorted while sharing. Lots gets shorted while sharing. So sharing, talking about ourselves, talking about the little things in life, talking about the day-to-day things in life. Surrendering the intellect, waiting for the answer. Any question on the mind, not going to any human being for the question. First there. And you will get the answer, or you will have another human being walk into your life like this with the answer, without you asking them the question. So whom we will say? A messenger who came and gave me this answer. So this is going to be our second step in meditation, where we will start creating a personal relationship. We will meditate in the morning like we are doing every day. Always meditate before going to sleep, because there's a lot of clutter here by the end of the day. So don't go to sleep with all that clutter of that body consciousness, ego consciousness world. Just take a few minutes of silence, go back to that soul consciousness. When we just create this thought, I am a pure, powerful soul, a lot of baggage of that ego consciousness gets released. Just a thought. To begin with, just a thought. Then gradually, it's an awareness, and then gradually, it's an experience. But even a thought shifts the consciousness. Yesterday we saw the definition of ego: attachment to a wrong image of myself. So on this journey of life, we acquire a lot of things. What is the first thing we acquire is this body. Soul is energy. In the womb of the mother, 9 months is what it takes for the body to get created. Okay? And what is the body? The box of that diamond. So 9 months in the womb of the mother, it's for the body to get created, not for me to get created. For my body to get created in the womb of the mother. The soul just enters into that womb. Just enters into that womb. So soul is energy. Energy cannot get created. Energy does not get destroyed. Energy is eternal. So who dies? How many of us are going to die? Everyone? Yeah. So who dies? Energy cannot get created, cannot get destroyed. Energy is eternal. So who dies? We say they are gone. They are gone. So who dies? It's like this dress. Touch your dress. This dress, it will tear, it will get old. We throw it away. We wear a new dress. Similarly, this is our costume. This body, we use it for 50, 80, 100 years. After that, not functioning, old, worn, torn out. I, the soul, leave the costume. Energy does not die. Energy does not get destroyed. So just put your finger here gently. Just experimenting. The soul doesn't move out of the body. We visualize the soul. We don't say the soul literally moves out. If the soul moves out of the body is over then after that. So don't try this, soul moving out of the body. This I, the soul, I'm in this body. Before this, I still existed, right? Before this. So we are on a journey of one costume. Death means this dress is over. I still exist, I don't die. And then I, the soul, enter the womb of a mother. New body, new family, new journey. 100 years in that, I, the soul, leave the costume, enter the womb of a mother, new family, new body, new journey. Many lives. It's a journey of many lives. Now, yesterday we had seen the soul carries different personality traits. Take your diary out. We need to write 5 types of personality traits that each one of us is carrying. Because then we understand why we need God's power to heal us. Why we are not able to do it only for ourselves. Why do we need a higher energy source? The 5th folder we saw yesterday is the one which every soul has, and that is those 7, our 7 qualities. That is our 5th folder. We have 5 folders. 5 folders in the sense, not physical folders, 5 types of personality traits. So we'll just classify it into 5 folders. The 5th one is what every soul has, those 7 personality traits: purity, peace, power, love, happiness, wisdom, bliss. This 5th one everyone has. First 4 we will see now. First 4. The first folder is those personality traits which I carry from my past lives. See, today you're wearing this dress, whichever dress you're wearing right now. Today you will speak, think, behave. You will create personality traits. Tomorrow morning you will wear another dress. Right? You will not wear this dress tomorrow. You will wear another dress. Only the dress changes. You're still going to be the same person. Yes? You will be the same person. Dress will change. Next day again you will change a dress. Next day again you will change a dress. Dress keeps changing. You remain the same person. One day you will change this physical body dress. You will change this dress. Dress will change. You will still be the same soul. So if I have a nature of anger here and this body dies today, my nature of anger goes with me. Only my dress changes. If I have the nature of kindness today, body over, my nature of kindness stays with me. So our first folder is those personality traits which we got with us when we entered the womb of the mother. We got it because we had created those in past lifetimes. So that's a very big folder. Second folder of personality traits we got from our parents and family. Parents and family. So you will see some personality part of you which is similar to someone in your family. Anyone feels you can recognize which part of your personality is similar to someone close in your family? Mostly parents also. Anyone? Yes? So that's your second folder. That's your second folder. Third folder is my nature which gets created because of environmental influence. Which means certain things are a part of my personality because of the country that I am born in. Certain things because of the religion that my family practices and I was born there. Third, because of the school I went to, and so who were my friends. So it's environmental influence, the power of company that I keep. And in today's world, a very powerful environmental influence is my phone. Earlier it used to just be the people in my life. But now it's my phone. So that's my third folder. So you may have a particular personality trait, but just being with friends, being with people, you change. That's your third folder. Fourth folder. I may have carried any personality trait from my past life, got it from my family, or from my friends. Fourth folder, willpower. Willpower. I use my willpower to change any trait that I have. I don't have to live like a victim to my not very healthy personality habits. The good ones, I keep on building up on them, but the uncomfortable ones, I can change. So each one of us is a bundle of these five types of personality traits. First one, I carried from my earlier lives. Second one, I got from my family, present family. Third one, from environment around me. Fourth one, I created through my willpower. Fifth one, my original personality, those seven. Now to understand these five folders, the fifth one is the original nature of the soul. So for example, most of us are wearing white today. So just touch your white color and see, it's plain white, right? White. So now this morning, we're all wearing white, which means the journey of every soul starts with purity. Complete. All of us are same. But then today, during the day, your day, my day will be different. Her day, his day will be different. One will be in the kitchen, somebody will be in the garden, third one will go trekking, fourth one will be in the motor garage. The day is different, which means my situations in lives and multiple lives are different. End of the day when we meet, our white will have stains. Yes, end of the day our white will have stains. Will the stains on your white and my white will be the same? Or will the stains on your white and everyone else's white will be the same? Will the stains on everyone's white be different? Be different? Yes. But when we will meet, we will remember that each one was white. These are just stains. Now the same thing, we have to look at the soul. Each one is a pure soul. These little other uncomfortable personality traits that we are seeing are just these acquired stains on this long journey of many lives, different families, different environments. But originally, each soul is pure. Each soul is peaceful. Each soul is powerful. Like we remember, each one's dress was white. We don't look at each other in the night and say, how ugly, how horrible, your dress is so horrible. We say, no, 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 your dress is white, this is just a stain, we'll clean it off. Go back into the world of your relationships. Each one around you. And each one means each one. Each one means each one. Even those who are doing the worst right now to someone on the planet, the worst that the human mind can think of, even that soul is originally a pure, peaceful, powerful soul. It's just that the stains are too many. And so we just can't see the white. But originally, every soul is the same. Every soul is the same. So when we will go back from here into our world of relationships, we will not just practice, I am a pure soul, I am a peaceful soul, I am a powerful soul. We will do that with everyone else. With everyone else. Everyone you meet, same thought, I'm meeting another pure soul. I'm meeting another powerful soul. And now understanding them will become easy. Don't look at them as my spouse, my partner, my child. No, soul on a journey. Why are they like this? Why are they behaving like this? Why are they doing this? Because they are a soul on a journey of many lifetimes. Somewhere on this journey, They have carried sanskars, nature, personality traits, karma. Today we have the power to help them to change that. So Raj Yoga will not be used only to change our nature. It will be used to help others to change theirs. So now don't look at the stain on the soul. Look at the original purity of the soul. For example, this year there were floods in India. Massive floods. Many people lost lives in floods this year. So can you visualize a scene? Someone on a holiday with family enjoying, and suddenly there is this water and I see my family slipping out of my hands. I see I'm losing everything. In a few seconds I've lost every member of my family like this. And while I'm trying to hold on to them and save them, I get swept away and I, the soul, leave the body. People say they are no more. The body is no more. I, the soul, move forward. Even in that last scene of my life, what gets recorded here? What gets recorded here? Yes? What gets recorded here? Fear. Fear of? Fear of? Visualize. You leave the body with all that water, with all people, with your house finishing right there in front of you. Everything that you owned got washed away. And then you, the soul, left the costume. What is the last recording on the soul? Fear of? Fear of water, fear of losing people, fear of losing things. Now this soul enters the womb of the mother, 9 months later, baby born. And the parents think, new baby, perfect child. Perfect. And then as that child is growing, and the child is 3-4 years old, the parents take that child to the swimming pool. What will happen? And they're trying to put the child into the pool. What will happen? What will happen? The child will panic, shriek, scream and run away. Will the parents be able to understand why the child is doing that? No. And they will say, you're a weak, how can you get fear, scared of water? They will criticize, complain, worry. How can my child be like this? Because they are seeing the child only as child. Soul consciousness. This is a soul in the body of a 4-year-old child. And the soul has been on a long journey. And I don't know what the soul has experienced on this long, long journey. It shifts us from being critical, judgmental, to becoming empathetic, compassionate, understanding, and most important, healing them. Healing them. Fear of water is easy to understand. What if somebody fears trusting people? Your partner. You are a perfect partner. You're always been very loyal, very honest. But your partner just doesn't trust you. It can create chaos in that relationship. Because we say, you have a problem with me. You don't trust me. It's not they don't trust me. It is they have a problem with trust. It's not about me. It's about them. Always remember, how people behave to us is not about us. It is about them, their recording. It's the song that is recorded here for them. But we get into arguments, conflict. How can you not trust me? Take a pause. Soul on a journey. Pure, powerful soul. Sometime on this journey, this soul trusted someone and got betrayed. And so on the soul it's recorded, trust is equal to pain. Trust is equal to pain. Somewhere it happened. And so today that soul fears trust. Understanding them. Soul consciousness helps to understand people, because we don't see people as a role and a relationship. We see the person as a soul on the journey, understanding that they are carrying a lot with them. And then helping them to change that uncomfortable recording. So if they have an issue with trust, then we start radiating this vibration to them. You are a pure soul. You are a powerful soul. Trust comes very easy to you. Just send this vibration to them. Trust comes very easy to you. You are naturally able to trust people. Keep sending them this vibration. Your vibration helps them to create a new song. Our personality traits are like a lot of songs on a CD. We don't have to keep living with the uncomfortable songs. We can record new songs. So meditation is a process of recording new songs and playing only the good songs. But meditation is also a process of helping others to record new songs. They don't have to live with the recordings which are not comfortable. Don't have to. So when you meditate, like we saw yesterday, when I, the soul, go home and I'm sitting with the Supreme Parent, that ocean of purity, invoke this soul. Don't invoke child, son, daughter, friend. No, invoke the soul. You have to heal the soul, not the relationship, the soul. Invoke them in that soul world. Let them fill themselves with God's power and love. Those past wounds will start getting healed. So it's not just healing yourself, healing them. Healing them. It becomes very easy to understand people when we start understanding that their souls are on a long journey. In one lifetime, we see so much. We see so much in how much we must have seen in so many lifetimes. How much we must have seen. So sometimes it's also difficult to understand why I am like this. That's also my recording of some earlier lifetime. But any recording can be changed. Any recording can be changed. And the easiest process is during meditation, plant the seed of the new personality trait you want to create. Just gently keep repeating that. Suppose trust comes difficult to you, start recording. I am a loveful soul, trust comes natural to me. Just overwrite the song. My earlier recording says, I can't trust people. Don't let the same song keep playing. I am a loveful soul. Trust comes natural to me. Trust comes natural to me. Just keep gently saying that. And when you are in the soul world, in that soul conscious stage, and at that time if you say it, it comes even easier. Easier. Because you are detached from this body during that time. So gently start making a list of what you want to change in yourself, also in people around you, especially close family members. You can heal anyone. You can heal your friends. You can heal a colleague. Just keep sending them that right thought. But only thing to take care is just look at them as a point of light. Look at you as that energy and send them that thought. Let's do a little exercise. Just turn to the person sitting next to you. Anybody like this? The one sitting next to you. Now don't look at the face. But while looking at the face, gently bring your attention to the center of the forehead. to the center of the forehead. And just look at that diamond there in the center of the forehead. That shining point of light. And just create a thought while looking at them. Going beyond the barriers of body, nationality, religion, everything, physical appearance. Just look at them and create a thought. You are a beautiful soul. You are a pure divine soul. Keep seeing that beautiful angel there, that point of light. And see yourself also as the point of light. And while you're doing this, your energy from you, the center of the forehead, is radiating to them, to the soul. This is called a soul-to-soul connection. This is a soul-to-soul connection. And we can have a soul-to-soul connection with anyone. When we go beyond the barriers of ego, it's a soul to soul connection. Okay, she, come back. Come back, come back. Oh. Now you can practice this while you're walking, while you're eating. Gently get used to doing it without the other person coming to know what you're doing. Okay? You have to do it without them knowing what you are doing. Because you cannot always go and look at them like this. No, we can't do like that. Just gently. Every time you're going to look at the soul and radiate this energy, your vibration and their vibration is going to go up like this. So meditation in the morning, meditation in the night, meditating when I'm meeting people. And now if you want to give them power, just invite God and say, God, your powers and blessings to them. You are healing this soul, because we don't have power to heal everyone. You are healing this soul. This soul is a pure soul. And you see, within a few days, they will start changing. How many of you have influenced power, have experienced the power of your vibration on plants? Kitchen se koi aane wale the, aaye ki? Okay. Experience the power of vibration on plants. Experience the power of your emotion on your pets. Pets. So plants, if you haven't experienced, maybe if we get, do they get to go to Tapovan also? Do they go to Tapovan, brother? No, I don't think so. Maybe. They will try and put it for you. On Abu Road, we have a garden which is called Tapovan. Tapovan is where we are farming, but we are using the power of mind in farming, which means the power of vibrations. So the farmers are taught to meditate first with the seed. So which means you hold the seeds on a seed on your palm and you meditate with the seeds before you sow the seed. So you're energizing the seed before you sow the seed. And then they meditate in the farm at least twice, morning and evening. And especially when the plant is being watered, because water absorbs vibrations the most. And so you can experiment this in your home, even in your balcony, if you just put two plants, identical plant, identical, same sunlight, same water, but different emotions. So one plant you water with love and the other plant you water out of compulsion. Oh, I have so much to do now, I have to water this plant also. Both will grow because both have received sunlight and water, but both will look and feel different. It is vibrations. So if plants get influenced by vibrations, then the food you eat, will that also get influenced by vibrations? Yes or no? So, you are what you eat is a line we've heard many, many times. But what does it mean? We thought you are what you eat means this body is what I eat. It is not saying the body is what you eat. It is, where is the you? Where is the you? Here. I am what I eat. So the body is the nutrients I eat. And I am the vibrations that I eat. So here you're feeling lighter and peaceful. Most of the work for that is done in the kitchen. It's in the kitchen. So in the kitchen, the sisters and brothers who are cooking for you, they cook in a meditative state. And then you have seen the sisters who are serving you, how they are serving you? In silence. They are actually meditating while they are even putting that thing on your plate. So even while you are taking your bread, taking the curd, taking the milk, they are adding a little vibration on the garnishing just before giving it to you. And so just before giving it to you, they will add to that. You are a peaceful soul. You are a pure soul. You will think you are only taking that food item, but they are adding that vibration to it while you are being given. Now third step, you have to add it just before eating. So from today, the next practice, before you, 5 second pause. 5 second pause. Energize your food before you eat. Energize the food before you eat. So visualize, how many of you have a bottle of water with you right now? Pull it out. Take out your bottle of water. Open. Water absorbs vibrations the most. And 70% or more than that of our body is water. So our every emotion is being absorbed by the water in our body. And so that water needs to be energized. So open the bottle of water. Don't drink now. First we'll energize it, then you drink. Look the water. And if you're somewhere in a public place, you don't even need to look down. We are going to do this everywhere without anyone knowing that we're doing something. Now, because we're here, we can look at the water and just create a vibration, create a powerful thought. God's power and blessings are absorbed by this water. This water is full of God's love for me. I am a pure, powerful soul. And while you're doing this, you're visualizing vibrations radiating into the water. My body is perfect and healthy always. My body is perfect and healthy always. Now you can have the water. So this we will do with all our everything we eat and the water we drink. We never eat or drink without taking this 5 second pause, because the water is coming from the city, the vegetables are coming from the city, and there's a lot of stress and pain in the air, in the water. Just by drinking a glass of water, you can either create stress or you can create peace, depending on the energy of the water. That's how much is the power of water. Yesterday we were experimenting with this. I was expecting brother to come here to show you, but he's not come. I will request him. He will come and show you in this week. He will physically show you how it happens. You will take a glass of water. He will show you the energy of water. You will meditate 5 seconds with the water. He will show you the energy of water. He will show you the energy of food. He will show you the energy of pulses before meditating. After 5 seconds is not even meditation. It's just the right thought. That's all. 5 seconds. Can we do it today from lunch onwards? Yes. Like we don't eat without washing hands, we will not eat without raising the energy of our food. Never ever. 5 seconds always. 5 seconds always. And this gives you a chance to think about what would be the vibration of an animal-based diet. Nutrition, the world says it's healthy, though now even that is a question. But what would be the vibration of an animal-based diet? It's vibration of fear. It's vibration of helplessness. It's vibration of aggression. It's vibration of screaming, crying in pain. And then it's vibration of violence, and then vibration of death. So vibration of death does not give health. It can give proteins, it cannot give health. So 10 days here, plant-based diet would be beautiful to go back and continue that experiment for 3 months, plant-based diet. Gut will get lighter, soul will feel lighter, vibrations will start energizing. Sit back, 1 minute in silence. Sister will share the next announcement with us. So today, 2 things added in our daily chart. 5 second pause before eating, 5 second pause before water, writing our chart before going to sleep, and starting our communication with the Supreme Parent God. Sharing and talking and introducing the self. Om Shanti.